Welcome to the Hannah Ashton Podcast, the show for the influencer, entrepreneur, and boss babe. Welcome to the show, guys. This episode is going to be amazing. You're going to want to listen all the way through because I am getting to interview Jade Dharmawanza. I was first introduced to Jade when she reached out to me to be interviewed for one of her shows, and I've been hooked on her ever since. Jade has an amazing YouTube and Instagram that is going to tell you real, straight talk, what you need to do to improve your social media game. She has quickly went from a couple thousand subscribers to over 20,000 subscribers in the past few months. And so today we're going to be going over a few of her tips for being a YouTuber, her tips for growing on Instagram that I have implemented and they've helped me greatly, and many more awesome topics. You guys are going to love Jade. We both definitely have that same hustler spirit, and I am so happy to call her my friend. So without any further ado, let's get started on the interview. Hi, Jade. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Hannah. What's up?
I am so excited for this conversation today, guys, because as I was just telling Jade, I've been obsessed with her, and you guys need to be obsessed with her too. And so hopefully you will be after this episode, because it's going to be full of her amazing information, and yeah, we have lots of fun topics for you guys today. Okay, Jade, so first off, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your work and just your social media journey, if you will.
Okay, so similar to Hannah, I'm an entrepreneur. I am 16 years old. I basically, on my YouTube channel and Instagram, I just teach girls and guys how to really use Instagram and grow on there. Specifically Instagram, for some reason, it's just a really great platform for people. I think it's one of the best platforms to get your name out there. So I just solely focus on that. So similar to Hannah, I create a business to coach people. And then now more recently, I've been in the kind of tech business, you could say. I'm building an app. So that will be launching in the 2018 summer range. I am truly obsessed with helping people grow. That's my biggest obsession. And similar to Hannah, we just love helping people as well.
I know last time we talked, I was actually interviewed by her a few months ago, guys. And something I was really intrigued with is how you stopped pursuing the high school career and decided to go entrepreneurship full time.
Oh my gosh. So I guess talk about like me quitting high school, right? Okay, I think it starts with a dream. This sounds very cheesy, but I remember when I was a little girl, I would watch Bethany Moda.
Me too.
Okay, these girls just gave me hope. Like, I was so weird on this internet thing. I was like, my parents like, this internet thing's not going to work. And, you know, us, when you're younger and you're looking at these bigger, like, stars when you're younger, those are your stars. And then when you get to a point where you kind of reach their age when they started, you have a realization. For me, it was extreme. I was like, you know what? I want to do this. I used to sell products on Amazon. I used to be kind of always selling something, helping people. I also used to literally create little craft keychains to sell. I don't know if you ever did that when you're younger, but like literally create little tutorials, like so craftastic on YouTube was my life with Bethany Moda. That was my life. So I think when I was last year, I realized that I'm not doing so hot in school. I wasn't stupid. I knew that I was capable of learning. I was just never interested. And when you see other people also in a space living their dreams, you kind of ask yourself, why can't I either? And for me, there was no excuses. My parents are supportive. Huge factor. Like, it's probably one of the main only reasons why I'm able to. A lot of people want to, but it's hard. It's so hard. So I recommend a good circle. So that was for me getting inspired. Thank you, Bethany, but she's on her own thing. So that's my biggest contribution to wanting to pursue entrepreneurship.
I love that. And I love how you started like that entrepreneurship work early on, because I was the exact same way. Like, I would bring little crafts I made to school and I would sell them. And my teachers would get so mad. They'd be like, you can't do that. Like, I didn't understand at the time.
Right. They're like, when you want to write, literally my little yearbook on fifth grade, instead of like, what do you want to be? A teacher. I was like, nope, I want to be a marketer. And my teachers were like, okay. They're like, what the heck?
Thank you for sharing that. You've said you had your YouTube channel for a while and you were like really working on it. You went in and out. What made your YouTube channel really take off this year? Oh, and by the way, congrats on 20K. I saw you hit that.
Yeah, thank you so much. Really, YouTube's my child. I also, you know, I think I mentioned this before, but I have another business where I coach, but specifically develop apps. I think YouTube for me is just so much, it's so fun for me, right? So a lot of people nowadays, when they create YouTube channels, it's for the sole purpose to make money and to be famous. Now, when you do that and you're in the mindset, you're in the 50, like you're trying to take 60% from people and give them 40%. When you are doing it right and you're growing, you're in the 51 to 49. So basically, you basically give more than you get. So you're basically kind of being vulnerable. You don't really make that much money in the beginning. It's super slow and painful. I think, I don't know if I took off or say because I, you know, passion, because passion also needs hard work. But the idea that I care so much more about helping, you know, the audience and making sure they feel like the content is, you know, resonating with them helps to contribute to helping a lot of them was actually like talking to their friends. They like had some like loyalty towards me just because I cared so much. So I was never in it for growing. Honestly, I thought I was never going to hit past 2000 subs. Like everyone has that phase, right? The doubt phase. So my biggest thing is why is just because I created content that I had to make people care about. And what do people care about? It's typically their biggest problem. And my audience's biggest problem is getting that roadblock, growing past a certain amount of followers. It's a real pain point when you're maybe like an insecure teenager and you love social media, but you don't know how to make it, you know, bigger. So that's when I really suggest.
We can like create a formula from that there of like, if you, to have a YouTube channel succeed, you first want to start it out by, like you said, be willing to give. And I was listening to a podcast earlier today and they talked about that exact same thing. Like if you go into a masterminding class or a conference and you're all about, okay, I gave all this money or I gave my time to these people, what am I going to get back? Then, you know, you're closing off so much of what you could be learning in the future. So like to give first. And then the next thing would be to find the problem in your audience. And I know you talk about it. I talk about it, having that niche for your social media or for your YouTube. So that's like the genre that you're going towards. And then, yeah, just like you said, like find what their problem is. How I started my business was I found the problem that a lot of people were confused with starting their YouTube channel. They didn't really know where to take it. And people were asking me that. So that's the problem I address now with my YouTube. And yeah, so I think those two things, giving and helping with people's struggles, is gonna allow you to have a big audience.
Right. I feel like so many people focus on creating new solutions. Like here's a product that will solve this, but no one nowadays, like these days at least, they don't really double down on solving problems, not creating new solutions. People don't really care about the new opportunity. They want to solve their like own deep, you know, problems. So definitely, right? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think I already know the answer, but what is your biggest tip for growing Instagram?
Okay, Instagram. I think one of my biggest things is, Hannah, you know this, you've implemented it, which is awesome. You know, a lot of the times we get caught up, you know, as girls, like I'm sure your audience, there's girls and guys, but just as girls, there's like Instagram models that just post pictures of their pretty face with emojis. And us like girls are like, okay, now it's my time to do that, the same thing. But then we realize it doesn't work the same. A lot of the, maybe Alexis Rand, a lot of the girls we look at, they have like a PR agency. And I always believe a lot of girls are looking at the wrong direction. Giving value first in your captions with a pretty photo is going to have so much more value to maybe their followers than, you know, just random things just put together. And making people care is as simple as solving their problem. So when it regards to Instagram, I think the fastest way to grow is just longer captions, making people stay.
After Jade and my business coach Ursula both told me to start writing longer captions, I finally did, and it has been amazing how much my Instagram followers have showed engagement on these longer, meaningful, content-filled captions, and I definitely recommend for you guys to go this route too.
Also like videos on Instagram, I don't even know, like Lele Pons and her comedy, like I don't really know much about it, but for some reason she's blowing up, and I have to say it's for her, like, you know, videos, it's super loopable. So creating content that's like either really like it takes a long time to consume, or videos that are easy to like watch over and over again.
Right, right. And with the long captions and with, you know, not just showing like a model face and some emojis, you're also giving relatability, which I feel like is coming back to social media. Like we're steering away from like, okay, our lives are perfect, here's how our perfect lives look, to, okay, this is what's real, this is what's coming up. I'm excited for it.
I know. I think this is going to go into conjunction to like, you know, YouTube and Instagram. But you have to make people feel something, right? And a lot of the times you can tell a story. That's why if you're ever curious, the best videos on YouTube sometimes are story times, because you take people from the beginning to the end. A lot of you guys are maybe struggling to get an audience to, you know, watch from zero to the end of the video because there's no plot. People get bored. So audience retainment is something maybe for YouTube and Instagram. Just make sure people stay and read the whole thing, maybe by being more engaging and, you know, caring to the audience.
I love how your videos are so informative, but they're also like really comedic and funny because that's just like not me. Like I could never make the videos that you do. It's just, I think it's really unique. So how do you get a good ratio between your like comedy, like make it, your videos entertaining, and then also get information?
I love this question. So many people are like, whoa, this is like not expected. Like I thought this was supposed to be a tutorial. Like, why are you making me laugh? There's a lot of backlash, by the way. A lot of people don't take me serious. So when I'm doing comedy and informative, it's actually because I'm trying to be three things: educational and entertainable. What in being entertaining?
Yes.
So my thing is educational is gives people value. But what I realize on YouTube is how do you make someone stay from point A to point B? I repeat this a lot, but this is important. My way, some people are better at this than me. My solution is just being funny. It takes people along. So my information is comedy just because it makes people stay from the beginning to the end. I don't know if you felt that before, like, oh, I feel like I need to watch a whole video because it makes me laugh. So that's what I do. A lot of girls and guys, of course, can do better at makeup tutorials and talking like a chit chat. And that's how they get people from point A to point B. So for me, I add comedy for a sole reason, because I think I'm a funny person and I like making people entertained, and education is just the best part because they feel like they're taking something away from it as well.
And watch time's huge right now with YouTube, guys. If you know like the new rule, like you have to have, I think it's 4,000 hours of watch time to even be a partner with YouTube to get monetized. So getting people to watch not just the intro of your video is super important. And I think Jay just relayed a great skill that you guys can implement into your YouTube videos. You know, if you like making jokes, if you like, you know, funny editing, you can use funny editing tactics. And yeah. So what is something you think most people don't know about being a YouTuber or an Instagrammer?
Okay. I think for me, I always thought, man, if I had 10,000 subscribers, I would be set. And then you hit 10,000 or something. Man, if I had like 20,000, I'd be set. And then you're like, wow, this is weird. And then same for Instagram, right? Like if you only had, and you put this fake standard that when you get there, you're going to be set. For me, I thought when you hit a certain subscriber rate, I could literally just like relax. Like, oh my gosh, like my bills will be paid. My parents in sleep, they'll be proud of me. The reality is it's not like that. You get to a point where you get it. But once you make it, you actually don't feel that much different. And I don't know, Hannah, if you ever feel this, but like, do you ever like go and you hit a milestone in your head you wanted to reach, but when you hit it, you don't feel like it's different and you kind of want more. And it's a very dangerous like emotion, but it's never fulfilling sometimes, right? Like sometimes in a way.
For sure. Like 100,000, because that's like, you know, like the big milestone. And so I hit that last summer and then you're like, okay, like where's my silver YouTube plaque, which I still haven't got, by the way. I just want to say, like, I need to email up YouTube. Anyway. Yes. And I see this with my business too. Cause like I create a course and I'm like, okay, good. Gonna relax and focus. And then I'm like, no, I want to do this now. And you're right. It's never fulfilling. And so we have to find fulfillment in other areas, I feel like. Or what do you say about it?
Okay. So my thing is people don't, when they design the life they want, it's typically, I need 100,000 followers, maybe 50,000 a year just for income, and that's it. So people do it at the strategy level. So what's the difference between strategy and what I'm talking about, which is outcome? I believe outcome is, what do you actually value? And this is really deep, and I don't know if this makes sense.
No, but I love it.
Okay, so like my thing, my family is very, very entrepreneurial, so I learn a lot from mentors. The one thing they say is, before you do something, does it align with your outcome? So a lot of people, their outcome is they want to travel more. Like maybe you want to travel more and you don't have enough money. But a lot of people, they just focused on, you know, money, subscribers, or whatever random, you know, key performance index they want. But when they build it and they get there, they never actually travel. Say a lot of people build businesses that like kill them inside because maybe they want to spend time with family, but they just created a monster basically. So a lot of the times people focus on the strategy, like getting numbers, but it doesn't correlate to their actual wants. Maybe you want to, I don't know, family, or like you want to really help children in Africa. That was really random. Whatever your want, it doesn't align, just because an outcome is like a very broad picture. It's like typically you only change it a couple years. The strategy is changed like, you know, every couple months. So a lot of people mix it up and think their strategy is their outcome. If that makes sense, I feel like those two levels really help clarify what you really want to do. Sometimes it's not even money. You really don't need that much money or subscribers to sometimes even just travel or do the things you want, right? Like you just came back from Mexico, right? That was such a blast. And that's something I realized when I wanted to build a business. I wanted to actually have more friends. This might sound really bad. I don't have that much friends right now just because I'm focused. And I realized like, whoa, like I better be careful or else I'll, you know, have no friends. So, you know, that's, I'm a social person. So this is why I always have to, you have to sometimes take a deep breath and come back and make sure you're doing the right thing.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I think is what you're doing going to give you the outcome you want? I think that's why, like, writing down your goals and not just like thinking about it like, oh yeah, someday this would be cool. Like I want to like, you know, have a 6-figure business, or like you said, I want to travel more. Like write that down and, you know, put it above wherever you work. Like I have my goal list above my desk so that when I'm working, I can look and see like, okay, you know, this new course I want to start, or this new big thing I want to start, is it going to give me this outcome, or is it just, you know, a fulfilling my desire at the moment?
Yeah, for sure. Like, and people will put pressure, like people are talking about millions of dollars and I'm just talking about, what about like, I don't know, like just a couple $100. Like you don't have to, you don't really have to. People put too much pressure and they're never going to take the first steps.
The first steps are like the hardest part of really anything. It's just,
trust me. And I'm a daily YouTuber and it's really hard even in the beginning. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think about the people? There's a lot of YouTubers blowing up, quote unquote, Emma Chamberlain. Hers is comedy. I just want to know. There's a lot of people right now that maybe did YouTube only for like literally less than a year. I just want to know like what you think about it. I think it's super cool. But a lot of people, even with the monetization, they're just blowing up.
So, well, are you also kind of talking about just like the people that are just blowing up in like a year and we've been working on this for so many years?
Yeah, it's like discouraging.
it a little bit is. And this is what I say, like, okay, yes, I'm so proud of my subscribers. And like, I think the difference is that when you blow up really quickly on YouTube, like it's amazing, it's thrilling, but also I don't know if it has the same connection. I can't say because I'm not in their shoes. But like for me, some of my subscribers have been watching me since I was in middle school and I'm now a senior in high school. And so they felt and I've, you know, been there along with them, of like growing up with me. And I think that's just a really cool connection. And yes, it doesn't correlate into like, you know, money maybe, because I maybe don't have as many views or hits, and it doesn't correlate into, you know, brand deals. But I think it's just a really cool connection that it brings to my channel when you've been doing it for so many years and you've really built this following up from the ground up. And so that's what I see the difference is. Like, I'm so proud of the people that can gain subscribers quickly. Like, you know, that's the goal, is that's what YouTube was made for. So, an audience to watch. But yeah, I just think that's a bit of a difference. But
yeah, I mean, I specifically for you, you've been on the platform at least longer because of, you know, some of your girl boss videos, which I found. So a lot of them did grow up with you, which is so cool. Like, I wish what I did mistake wise, if you guys might do this too, but I deleted a lot of old YouTube channels that were embarrassing to me. I made separate ones, which means people were jumping around. I've never ever had a, you know, true like Jade from middle school to Jade to high school connection. So that's super cool. And I love that so much.
Thank you. And I still have, oh no, I'm going to regret saying this, but my first channel ever, because I have had a few channels, but my first channel ever is called Just Add Sparkle.
Is it still real?
Yeah. It's still up. I lost the passwords. So, like, I can't go delete it or even upload. Like,
I say you have deleted channels, but I actually just say it's deleted when it's still up there. It's just so no one finds it.
So my last question for you tonight, Jade, is what is your favorite motivational quote and why?
Okay. So I know your audience. I have an idea of maybe who your audience is, Hannah. So I'm going to say the complete opposite on what you're maybe expecting to hear.
Okay.
So a lot of quotes, I feel like, oh my gosh, motivation and positivity. My quote for you guys today, I promise I love showing love and like being empathetic, but this is for you guys. If you're trying to start a YouTube channel, a social media, kind of be maybe you're inspired by Hannah and us, no one cares. So what that means, my quote is no one cares. So what that means is no one cares if you didn't post last week. No one cares if your editing sucks. No one cares if your mom and your dad thinks you suck at editing. No one gives a crap about what you have. It's about what you can do now. I don't know, like if you guys like watch Netflix, it's chill, but like make sure if you really want it, stop complaining. And I want you guys to think about no one cares to motivate you to see everyone has their own problems, right? Everyone has their own little internal things. It's important for you to, if even if you're insecure, no one cares is the quote for you. And I hope that doesn't hurt you, but it gives you tough love to tell you guys that, you know, Hannah and I experience people overjudging themselves. And it's the one thing, like everyone's talking about us versus the world, but what about us versus ourselves? That's the worst enemy, of course. A little bit getting deep, but yeah, that's my quote of the day.
Jade, I am so glad you said this. And it's actually so funny because my boyfriend said the exact same thing back in December. Yes, we were like getting ready. We were taking this intense ACT course and we were all doing these different things. And he was listening to a podcast and it was this Olympian runner. And his, like what he told the interview was, they asked the Olympian runner, like, what do you do when you're getting down and like you're unmotivated? And he goes, I just think to myself, no one cares, work harder. And that's what gets him going and keeps him running. I can't explain it. You explained it perfectly. Okay, well, thank you so much, Jade, for being on this show. I wish we could just keep talking for like hours. So we'll have to do something else, like maybe an Instagram Live. That'd be fun.
Thank you for having me. Sorry, I cut you off.
Make sure to go follow Jade on every social media, her YouTube channel, everything. It'll be in the show notes, which you can find at the on the blog at hannahashton.com. And yes, you'll hopefully hear more from us in the future. Bye.
Bye. I seriously love recording this episode, guys, and I hope you enjoyed listening to it. If you did, the best way to support the podcast would be to go give us a rating and review on iTunes, or you can leave us a comment on SoundCloud. That would be awesome, and we will talk to you next Friday for the next episode. See you guys.